Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Urban Float. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
You heard of Urban Float? Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli in the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Boom. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. Do you love it?
I love it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Punch you. What's that?
Punch buggy?
Punch buggy.
No. Is it?
I think so.
You see a Volkswagen.
Oh. Same thing. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, revive at where? Together.
Urban Float.
3, 2, 1. Good morning. Amy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm exceptionally great this morning. Had
good.
A great run.
Mm-hmm.
First snow. Of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like snow?
I love snow. I'm trying to have a new attitude about the cold weather this winter and appreciate it.
Attitude of gratitude?
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. That's funny you actually mentioned that. So I used to hate the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mm-hmm. used to hate it because it was like programmed. You know, we're a summer town and this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I'm starting to swap a little bit. I mean, I don't hate summer. I definitely hate the end of it.
Why?
Know? Well, it just gets so chaotic. It's like this mad dash to get to the beach. And it gets really crazy. And sometimes I feel like it's almost a hot winter. Like, you can't go out.
You can't
do anything. You're pretty much stuck in your house. And then it gets so hot, you don't sit on the patio, right? You don't sit out on the deck.
I do.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. I do. That's the thing about winter that I'm trying to change my mindset about. I love to be outside. So even if my theory is, you know, everybody says, what's your favorite season? Mm. Mine is summer because you can always be outside.
Right.
You can get in a pool, you can get in the ocean and cool yourself off. But when it's, you know, 20 degrees and freezing, I don't really want to be outside.
You can get in the ocean.
You could do the polar bear
plunge. All mind, right? It's all in the mind.
But so that's just where I'm coming from. But it's funny that you say that because I am trying to appreciate winter as well.
Right.
Like, how beautiful was this driving in the snow this morning?
I love this time of the year. And honestly, I used to be in a, you know, not everybody knows this. I used to be in the golf course industry and my life was based on the weather. My happiness was based on the weather, and this would be a day where I would work out in the weather all day. It's not, we would be outside, you know, in Carhartts, cutting down trees in the snow, freezing. I hated it. So I was just, and it was kind of ingrained into me. And then when I started doing hair 14 years ago, it's still carried into that career, still kind of dreading.
Yeah.
But today I'm like, I love the winter. Mm-hmm. I love summer, but, you know, that's why we have 5 days of work so we can enjoy the 2 days on the weekend. Because if it was just all weekend, we wouldn't enjoy it.
That's
I feel
true.
That's kind of
that's
why
a good point.
The winter makes us appreciate the summer. But listen to me, summer, and you must have some sort of roof over your deck because I have a deck and there's no setting out on the deck in the middle of July. It's too hot. It's too humid. It's not pleasant. I'm going to have to come and check out your deck.
Yeah, we have a porch. We have a screen porch.
Well, there you go.
I love it. I have my routine. I get my coffee. I get the dogs out there. I get Carlos, and we just sit and start our day.
Dog first, then Carlos.
Sorry.
Well, so let's introduce yourself, because if you don't, corporate's going to have a conniption.
My name is Amy Casas.
Casas, the better half of corporate.
That is correct.
Well, thank you for coming on, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
We've talked about having you on, and we finally made it happen, and I'm super excited. And I asked you before the podcast, what do you want to talk about? And you're like, anything. But you did talk about mindfulness, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we addressed that at an age? I mean, I wasn't thinking mindfulness at 16. I wasn't thinking mindfulness at 20. At some point, like into my, I'm 51 now,
mm-hmm.
and I started thinking, you know, a lot of things. I redefined happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I redefined what I need to focus on to keep peaceful mindfulness, I guess you could say, serenity, so mm-hmm. to speak. I mean, is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, yeah, I didn't even know what mindfulness was until about 4 years ago.
I was actually hoping you could define it for me.
Oh, I will.
Because I'm still not sure.
Well, I, you know, I had to look up the definition before I got out of my car this morning.
Did you?
I did. I know what it is, but it's, I like to use Jon Kabat-Zinn's definition. He's the one who came up with this whole mindfulness stuff, which mm-hmm. is really taken off. You know, it's like the new buzzword over the last however many years. So his definition, and this is not exact, is present moment awareness. So being aware of the present moment without judgment. So that's all it is, but it's so broad, which is why...
I like that, without judgment. And people, I mm-hmm. think, automatically would think, oh, without judging others. But I think that really means without judging ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Without judging anything, ourselves and others included. So, I mean, the awesome thing about mindfulness is you can be mindful about almost anything. So, like, you're cleaning your glasses right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can be mindful of the way your shirt feels.
Mm.
And now,
it's soft.
You know, so yeah. that's being mindful, or drinking your coffee. What does the
appreciating
cup feel like?
Appreciation, you think?
I think so. Or just noticing. Noticing. Just noticing what's happening in the present moment. So I don't look at mindfulness as something that I'm trying to perfect.
Right.
I just look at it as a practice, very similar to yoga, very similar to floating. You know, it's just something that can help you to calm your mind. It can help us to pause and make a decision instead of just reacting to things. Because when we allow our brains to kind of pause and be still, we're actually strengthening our brains, the gray matter in our brains. We're strengthening the prefrontal cortex.
Yeah.
And there's just a ton of benefits to just slowing down and instead of being so reactive. So that's what mindfulness helps us to do.
Well, and you know, you talk about kind of like exercising the brain. You know, I always say, you know, cuss words, hate, anger, they're all kind of, to me, lazy. Like, it's easy. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I learned a lot about this stuff through, you know, sobriety, I guess I should say, you know, mm-hmm. understanding, you know, I hate it a lot. You know, I hate that guy. But, you know, those 12-step programs and those, and they're, unfortunately, they're associated with like alcohol or a drug or food. You know, you don't usually address, you know, those steps until you're at a point where you have no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone should do it almost, but,
yeah.
You know, I learned, you know, why I hate things. It's fine if I hate something, but understand why. Because once I start understanding, I realize I don't really hate it. I just either need to do more work or mm-hmm. be or find peace with where I'm at.
Right.
You know, I've a lot of my life and my mindfulness, a lot of that awareness has changed through age, especially I've reached 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom, my parents always instilled in me what happiness was, a lot of money. You know, beautiful women and a lot of money. You mm-hmm. know, go find yourself a beautiful wife, Tommy. We'll make big bucks. And I was like, oh, okay. And that was always about, I thought, what happiness was.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've gotten older, I've redefined that. What is happiness? And mm-hmm. it's not that.
Right.
It's not a lot of money.
Right.
My wife is beautiful, luckily. But it's not about money. It's not about that anymore. And that mindfulness, you know, like this morning I told you I went for a run, you know, just staying in the moment, really appreciating, you know, some people would be like, it's snowing,
right.
It's wet, it's cold, it's right. windy. But we're like, man, this is amazing. No one's out here.
Right.
It's super peaceful.
Beautiful.
Oh, and I live constantly. I'm better today, but there was a lot of my life where I lived in that self-centered prison of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it so many times. In fact, corporate will probably cringe right now, but you know, you're not living unless you're suffering. Mm-hmm. And that word has a pre-existing condition. When I say it, people go, oh, what do you mean suffering? But you know, the struggle, you mm-hmm. know, opening a small business, you know, that, mm-hmm. that time when you walk in and you go, we got a lot of work to do, mm-hmm. and you grind through it. But when it's all done and someone comes in and floats for the first time, you're like, wow, you know,
yeah,
you're not living in a self-centered fear. You're like, we need to survive. We need to roll up our sleeves and we need to get things done.
Right.
And, that self-centered fear is a lazy place. You know, it's easy to go, oh, I'm too scared. I can't do it.
Right.
You know, I thought, you know, laying in bed last night, you know, what we would talk about. And it's always, to me, it falls, I revert back to that time where you're sitting on the couch going, I wish we could open a float. Or I wish we could, you know, and mm-hmm. of course, corporate, he's got thousands of businesses he started. I've heard them all. But, you know, this one, Urban Float, which I love, but you know, it's a big matzo ball.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
And
yeah, it's huge, and it's been scary, and it's been a new journey for both of us. And I love the fact that your corporate is my husband.
That's right.
Okay, that's awesome.
If you want to, you know,
I can refer to him
that.
As
go
that
ahead.
Too. I love it.
And I love your husband. I think he's like. You know, he's become one of my closest friends, luckily.
Yes. So well, he feels the same about you.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He is a great guy. Did you know that we've known each other since high school?
Yep.
Yeah, he is a great guy. So yeah. he is my best friend.
He told me that. Now, if he hadn't told me that, we'd have to lower him down a notch. But he told me that. He said that she's my, high school sweetheart.
Yeah, we're high school sweethearts.
Good for you. Yeah. I'm not that good in that department, but I'm willing to learn.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I totally agree with what you were saying before about suffering. And I think you grow from that. And that's part of life, right? And mm-hmm. so, yeah, Carlos and I met when we were 16 and 17. And so this is a new journey for us because my background is in teaching. And that was my like safe comfort zone. And now we've opened this business together. So talk about fear. Yeah. But, you know, the way the floating came about, it just was something that the decision was more of an intuitive, heartfelt decision to go this route and to bring this here. It wasn't, you know, oh, this is going to be the most successful business, or this is going to be the biggest moneymaker. It's really to help people find peace, or everybody's going through something, right? Yep. Everybody's Absolutely. Going through something. So,
or you're dead and they may be going through something too. You never know.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's just this whole process has been very, very interesting. You know,
well, and you know, you don't, there's not a lot of, you know, if I woke up today and said, listen, I want to start a business, I could start a business that's been done 10 times, or I could mm-hmm. find a business that hasn't been done at all. Mm-hmm. And you look at that, the list of businesses that haven't been done at all is pretty small. Mm-hmm. So floating is pretty new. So really, I mean, yeah. if you're going to do a business, that's probably the one to do because there is no competition.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was running yesterday or the other day, and I ran past this new smoothie place, and I'm like, smoothies? Really? I mean, mm-hmm. hey, more power to you, but mm-hmm. I'd be nervous if I was opening a smoothie shop. Mm-hmm. I would, because, you know, they've been done, but floating? Mm-hmm. Nobody's opening a floating shop. So I think that's a great opportunity to do something that's not been done yet.
Right. Exactly.
You nailed it.
Yeah. Well, and floating's only been around for about 40 years. So, right. you know, the whole industry is new.
Epsom salts, though. Floating in Epsom salts is not new.
No, that's not new.
That's old school.
Yep.
Floating in giant egg dream pod with a bunch of it in there, that's new. Well, and you got guys like Joe Rogan. You know, I was watching a podcast last night, and Joe Rogan had this guy on who wrote a book about the Plains Indians. The Battle of the Plains, you know, the Comanches, and mm-hmm. it's a great story. But he wrote this book, and then one day, he had this Amazon spike where all of a sudden his sales for his book, his book went to number one overnight. And he's like, what happened? What happened? Joe Rogan posted an Instagram picture of it.
Mm.
And Joe Rogan has his own dream pod in his studio. He floats. Mm-hmm. And he's a big promoter of that
right.
stuff. And so that was where I first heard of it.
Okay.
So, and then all of a sudden you guys bring the Urban Float to town. So you kind of have some big names kind of promoting at the same time, which is lucky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, there are professional athletes who float. Oh, and so
me, I float. I'm not a professional athlete, but I'm something.
Well, yeah, you're a local celebrity.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't think that's true.
We're very lucky to have you come float.
I love it.
I love it, too. I love it, too.
I haven't yet to learn how to shut my mind off, though.
Well, so our brains are not meant to. It's hard to shut your mind off, right? Unless you're a Buddhist monk and you've been practicing, for years, right?
Right.
So they're not wired that way. Our brains aren't wired that way. So we had an event last night with Julie Fisher, who you know.
Mm.
Amazing.
Love Julie Fisher.
She is wonderful. And so Julie did 40 minutes of sound healing in our relaxation room. And then we moved into the pods and we did a 30-minute float. So
she invited me to do that.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. I said no. Well, she's going to do it again.
I feel. Well, you know what it is? I felt like I thought maybe she could give it to somebody that hadn't been.
Yeah.
I'd been.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a good opportunity for someone that hadn't been there to go and try it for free.
Right.
So I said no, and now I regret it.
Well, we're going to do it again. But even she's if you have an opportunity to just...
Don't be mad at me, Julie.
She's not going to... She would never be mad.
I don't think she can be mad.
I can't see her ever being mad.
She's a good girl. Her and I are doing a new podcast, but
I heard.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. But I forgot where
you did a half an hour of the bowls and then you moved everyone to the pods.
Right. But so what made me think of that was talking about our brains shutting off. Mm. So with Julie and doing the sound healing, it allowed our brains to relax and to just focus on the sound and to try to tune everything out. Oh, I know what I was thinking. So Donnie, sure. He's a floater. Miles?
Oh, he was on the podcast.
Yeah.
Donnie Miles.
So Donnie was there last night.
He's a great guy too.
Oh, he is a great guy. And he had, so after the experience, we were discussing it, just to see what everybody's thoughts were and how they felt. And he made such a good point. He said, when I come into float, I leave all of my expectations at the door. He said, sometimes I take a 10-minute shower. Sometimes I just turn all the lights off and sit on the bench and look at the light in the pod. So, and when I first started floating, I was very like, I have to take a quick shower and I have to, I forgot my
earbuds.
Yeah, earbuds. Or,
waterproof earbuds, which you do provide at a cost.
We do.
Small fee.
Well, there are the orange ones in each room.
Yeah. No,
but we have other ones that are for sale.
I think you have headphones that are like waterproof.
We have waterproof headphones if you want to come and listen to your own. You could listen to your podcast while you're floating. There you go.
That's not going to help me separate.
But I loved what Donnie said because it is what it is. You're going to make the experience your own. There's no right way to do it.
Right.
Okay. So if we come in with an expectation, like you might have a great float one day and then the next day you come to float and it's like, oh, well, why is my mind racing? Or, well, that's okay. Try not to judge it, right?
Right.
Be mindful. Be in the present. This is where I am right now. And I just love that attitude that he has about it. And I think it's a good attitude to have just in life. And I said something like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. And he was like, yeah, I have a mug that says that. It is what it is.
It is. Well, and I think for me, like I, you know, Carlos is like, go float, man. You need to go float. You need, don't drink any coffee. And he like kind of lays it all out for me. And I'm like, okay, well, I already had a coffee. I did that at 5. So, but he's like, just go float, relax. And so I go in and, it's funny because I actually took a picture and I think you saw the picture, but there's a lot of great, cool light and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, the podcast is round. I mean, not the podcast, the Dream Pod, you know, it's round and it's kind of dark. It's a very cool little room. So I took a picture of the light and stuff. I think the first time I did try floating, I was, you know, I felt like I was on an agenda. So I, you mm-hmm. know, rushed right. into the shower and then I got right in and I'm like, so the last time I did it, I floated, and then when I it wasn't working, or you know, I started thinking too much, I just got out and took a shower and left. And right. Carlos says, "Oh, you just came by to take a shower?" Then I'm like, "I floated for a while." I mean,
well, and that's the thing, you can't don't feel bad about what your experience was. It was your experience, and so that again, that's taking away judgment, right? Right. So. You know, the next time you come in, let it be what it is.
Well, I think I maybe need to try floating in the evening.
Yeah.
My morning is just, it's just a, like horses running around a track. I mean, it's just.
And then it's going to be harder to relax and let everything go.
So maybe at the end of the day might be mm-hmm. a nice time, but I'm stuck with that too. I have trouble getting things free time to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, and floating, you know, it is, it's part of. Your wellness routine, your self-care routine, right? And you do have to make time for it, just like anything else, just like going to the gym or.
Well, and you are floating in Epsom salts. And, you know, I remember as a kid with, you know, with sore legs, my mom would say, get in the bathtub mm-hmm. with some Epsom salts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know what this is doing. But, you know, I did it. And it does help. And so I've been having some back issues. And mm-hmm. so it was nice to kind of float, you know, actually float in there with Epsom salts
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of help that stress in the muscles and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause it does help.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt great. So do you think you might try to even open another one, or is there any word on the street on that? Or?
So we are looking at some other possible locations.
I don't know how much you can talk about that.
I don't know either.
Uh-oh.
But yes. Well,
there's a corporate phone ringing right now. Corporate ringing.
No, we do have some other, you know, we have bought some licenses to open others. So we are kind of in the process of looking into some other areas.
Well, I do love floating.
I love floating too.
I know a lot of people that float. And I always hear great feedback, so mm-hmm. that's awesome.
But I think what you said about shutting your mind off is really important, because that is so hard for people to do. It's very difficult. So, you know, that's okay. You can get into the pod. You can, like I said, you can bring your own podcast. You can listen to a guided meditation. You can... you know, keep your eyes open the whole time and look at the lights, or it's what you make of it. And that's the thing I love about floating, is that even if you're going in there from like a physical standpoint, like I just worked out, I want the magnesium to help with my muscles and inflammation, you're going to get that benefit, right? Because you're soaking in 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt. If you're going in with the intention of trying to do a meditation or just disconnecting from our fast-paced world for an hour, you're giving yourself that chance, but you're also going to get the added benefit of the magnesium for your muscles. So it's, I'm always interested to see what people's intentions are for why they want to come. Sometimes they might not even know.
Right.
Right. But we always tell people, try it at least 3 times. The first couple times are a bit mechanical. I mean, like I said, when I first floated, I felt like I wasn't doing it right. And there's really not, you know, we do give an orientation. We encourage people to find stillness. Mm. And I think once we allow ourselves to settle down,
the brain, you know, calming down the brain, that will come. But it takes practice.
Well, and some people just, I mean, I've talked to people that would go in there and spend the night.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked to people that go in, they'd like to float for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend of mine who struggles with sleep, and I can relate a little bit. You know, there used to be a time where when I was in the golf course industry, I was really unhappy. And, but when I was really unhappy, I had a sleeping disorder. I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't get 8 hours of sleep. Sleep was like obsessing me. And it wasn't until I got out of that industry and started doing something that I loved, you know, which is just trying to do something, you know, whether it's the hair business, podcasting, you know, used to fly drones, photography, running, you know, all this stuff that I get to do now, which is makes me so happy. Sleep, escape, isn't as big of a deal anymore. And that's kind of what it used to be, escaping. And now, like, I don't want to escape anymore. You know, I don't want to go sleep. I don't want to go to sleep. You know, I'm up. You know, I like, it's hard enough for me to go. My wife's like, my wife makes me get in bed at 10 o'clock, no TV.
Oh, yeah.
I get a little annoyed. I'm like, what am I, seven? Well, she's like, you need to go to sleep.
She's smart.
She is smart. Because I would stay up, like on the weekends, I say, party TV weekend, I'm up. Staying watching TV, you know, that's
because you're not allowed to do it during the week.
The weekend, right? I'm allowed to.
The weekend
watch
you're
TV.
Allowed. Yeah.
So, but I'll stay up till 2 a.m. watching TV at night.
Okay, so you are aware of the blue light and how that affects our brains, and because Carlos does the same thing, he has the iPad right in front of him in bed, and.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's going to be harder for you to fall asleep. So your wife is right on.
In bed at 10.
Yep.
Spooning.
Yeah.
Assume the spoon
That's
position.
That's good, too. It That's going to bring all the feel good.
Well, and sometimes we get in a little tuffle. Like, we'll go to bed without spooning. And she's like, I did not sleep good last night. And I go, well, me neither. You know, you think I don't like to cuddle and spoon? I do.
Oh.
So I feel.
She doesn't sleep well unless you do cuddle?
No.
Oh.
It's a whole thing.
That's sweet.
Well, we'll be married 1 year.
Oh, that's very sweet.
We are not high school sweethearts.
I was going to say, Carlos and I are like this far apart in the bed.
Like my parents, you know, my parents did. They stuck two king size beds in one room side by side. They don't have, there's no like, you know, it's not evenly spaced on a wall. It's two king-size beds stuffed in one bedroom, and that's how they sleep.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I mean, my grandparents used to have twin beds. They each had their own bed, and it was a twin.
No, my parents have two king-size beds in their bedroom. And then not much else.
But they're touching. The beds are touching.
So, yeah, sort of.
Oh, that'd be fun to, like, roll from one side to the other. Think about how many dogs you could fit in those beds.
Oh, my God. We don't have any. Do you have dogs?
Oh, yeah. We have two dogs. I would have 10.
Do they sleep in bed with you?
No, because Carlos.
Corporate. The frowner.
Yeah. Rudy sleeps in our room, but he is smart enough that when Carlos brushes his teeth, I'm always first in bed. When Carlos comes to brush his teeth, Rudy will jump off the bed and go lay on his dog bed on the floor because he knows Dad doesn't want him in the bed.
Well, we're the same way. We don't have any animals, but just recently, our one cat, Gracie, has been in the bed, and we've let her stay there. I don't mind the cats in the bed as long as they're not, you know, I have happy feet. They're busy, busy feet, and I don't want any trouble.
Wait. While you're sleeping, you have happy feet.
Probably. They're just.
Does the cat, like, I don't really know a lot about cats. I've never had a cat. Carlos is allergic to cats.
Oh, brother.
So I didn't even know that cats would get in the bed with you.
We refer to him as corporate.
Yes.
Corporate is allergic to cats. Okay, put that down, write that.
He's allergic to cats.
So we will not be getting him a cat coat.
No. No.
Cat hat.
So I guess I never thought about that. Like, yeah, why wouldn't a cat be in the bed with you?
Well, cats are cool. Like the so one problem is like we have three cats: Tommy, Gracie, and Cookie. Gracie is the girl, mm-hmm. and Cookie's a girl, but Tommy's the boy. Tommy is he's solid. Mm-hmm. He's thick, and he's not fat, but he's like he's you know he's three, so he's like kind of in his prime right now, mm-hmm. and you know, and he'll lay there. And the other thing that cats do, you know, everybody, you know, those real soft, fuzzy blankets, yeah. the cozy ones.
Oh, yeah, I have one.
Yeah. Those.
I put it on my pillow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, the cats, they get in there and they start kneading it, mm-hmm. like it's their mom's tummy, and they start like just getting crazy and mm-hmm. licking it like they're looking for a little teat in there or something. And I'm like, chill, stop it. They're like, eh. They're just kneading. It's like, dude, beat it. So mm-hmm. that annoys me. Now, mm-hmm. if they don't do that and they just lay there, Gracie doesn't do the kneading. She just kind of lays there. And she stays on my wife's side. If they don't bug me, I don't care. But it's when they start like laying in between your legs. And then you feel like you can't move.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I can't move. Oh, I can't move the cats between my legs. Then I'm like, boom, bye bye. But you know, it is what it is. Redefining my happiness.
I love that. It well, does happen, though, as we get older, doesn't it?
It does happen because I think, and unfortunately, all, like, you know, I think we both have a 14-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I couldn't go to my 14-year-old son and say, listen, these are all the things you want to avoid and not do, and I would focus on these things, and definitely don't do this. He'd be like, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. everything that I've learned to get me to this point, I had to go through.
Right.
The lows and the highs.
Right.
You know, when I got sober, they always say, you know, our life was unmanageable. My life didn't become unmanageable until I got sober.
Mm.
I didn't.
Because you were escaping, right?
Well, I had a lot of life events that were unmanageable. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to think, you know, if you crash your car drunk or if you get in a fight drunk, be like, God, why me? Mm-hmm. Zero accountability, constantly being a victim. I don't know if you ever knew Matt Haley, but, you know, yeah. he was a great, great friend of mine. And you say, you know, victims never get better. You know, you're just constantly a victim, pointing fingers. And there was a great example of that this weekend. I like to watch golf, and they had the Tiger Woods Hero World Challenge or whatever in the Bahamas, and this guy, Patrick Reed, cheated on TV.
What?
He cheated.
What did he, how did he cheat in golf?
So he, so in a golf course, you know, you have your tee box where you hit the ball off, you have your fairway mm-hmm. where the ball lands, and then you have a green where the flag is.
Right.
Those are the three basic simple places. Then you have bunkers that are usually around a green. If your ball goes into a bunker, a sand trap.
Okay, right.
You are not allowed to ground the club, meaning you can hold the club. So if it's in the ground on the sand, you can hold the club above the sand, and then you hit the ball. You cannot lay the club flat on the sand.
Now, oh, okay.
If you have a waste area, which are these, like, sometimes, like, on this course, they had these long kind of fairways that ran the length of the fairway on each side. They're called waste areas. In these waste areas, you are allowed to ground your club, but okay. you are not allowed to improve your lie, meaning you can't mess with the sand. You can set it down and hit. And his ball landed in kind of a dip, and it was down in the sand, and he sat his club behind the ball and then swept away the sand. And then he sat his club down and he swept away the sand twice on TV.
And did anybody say Everybody saw anything
it. Oh
to
my
him?
God, absolutely. Because every time somebody puts their, you know, every time someone's going to hit, everybody's watching. And then there's
right.
Twitter.
Well, and it's on TV. It's being filmed. So is there... So. I'm not familiar with golf. I watch it, but I don't.
Let me help you learn.
Yeah. So is there like an official or a ref, not a referee, but you know what I mean? Is there somebody watching
yeah, PGA officials?
So did they say, hey, you can't do that?
So when he did it, everybody saw it. They tweeted about it. The PGA of officials all ran to the CBS trailer, played the film, reviewed the film. He cheated. I mean, he not only... So his ball was down in a dip. He placed his club, swept away half the problem, set his club, and then swept away the other half. So there was a big mountain. He swept away half of it and swept away the other half. And then his ball was clear as day to hit.
Mm-hmm.
He... they pulled him in after the round, and they said, "Listen, what's going on with this?" And he's like, "Oh," and he says, "Oh, bad camera angle."
Oh,
right. So they penalized him two strokes, right. And said, "Okay." And then he proceeded to say, "You know, it's a bad camera angle, not my fault." Yada yada yada, a victim.
Yeah. Not taking responsibility.
He was cheating. So the worst part is that Tiger Woods had chosen Patrick Reed to play in the President's Cup this weekend down in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, he's a cheater. The whole world knows he's a cheater. Then he gets on a plane with 10 other people from the United States and Tiger Woods, the captain, and flies to Australia for the huge President's Cup this weekend. And the Australians are like, "Hey, mate, you cheater? What's up, Cheetah?" And Tiger's like, "Oh, geez. You know, he should have been kicked out of the tournament and he should have been kicked off the President's Cup."
Right, right.
And instead of being like, "It was a bad angle," he took the low road.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know, I didn't cheat. It was a bad camera angle." Instead of saying, "Listen, I made a mistake."
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize, you know, at least maybe I didn't realize I was lifting the sand. Dumb me. I apologize. But he took that eighth grade angle. And he looks like an idiot. And that's the kind of stuff you have to go through. I mean, how many times did you sweep the sand away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it wasn't that, just, you know, something like that. I know I swept the sand away a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was funny. I was telling, when I worked at Arby's when I was 15 and I stole $50. A $50, I was looking down. Used to have to take money and put this in this drop box, you know, 20s and 50s and stuff like that. And I looked and I saw there was a 50 on the side of the drop box. And I was like, "Ooh," and I stole it. Mm-hmm. Now, I felt bad, especially because they called the police. And they never caught me, but I felt like an idiot, you know, but I was 15.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. Mm-hmm. Well, I already spoke about it, so I can't really plead the fifth. But I'm pleading just stupidity. But we were in the car, and I told my son about this, and we were in the car, and his friend was in the car, and he goes, "You remember the time you stole the $50? And I was like, "Oh, my God." And this wave of shame and guilt flowed over me because I was still a little bit of a thief.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would never do that today. But, you know, I had to learn a lesson from that. And
right.
Of course I knew not to steal. But I never had felt that fear, shame, guilt that comes along with the bad behavior like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess back to my point is, you know, you kind of have to live through these things to finally to learn. And about 50 is where you take all the shame and guilt that we've dealt with and put it all aside and say, "Listen, I'm ready to be better."
Mm-hmm.
That's for me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you climb to the top of the mountain and you know, you can be like, "All right, I get it." Or you can run around the tip of the mountain all your life and just make problems and just keep working on them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months ago, I claimed, "I am recovered."
Mm-hmm.
I know everything that needs to do to be recovered. It's if I choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't continue to be at the tip of the mountain of all the trouble that I've worked on and just make more trouble to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tend to do. I'm at 51, I'm ready to be better
mm-hmm.
and live a meaningful, thoughtful,
meaningful, mindful,
mindful,
mindful life. Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Thank you for
sharing that. No, I'm just processing it. But you know, I think the difference is that you. So, how old was this golf guy that cheated?
He was probably 28.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that age is, you know, the reason, but I do think as we get older, to me that was just blatant. Like, he knew he was cheating. He didn't care. He covered, you know, he tried to cover it up.
That's even the worst part.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But it's about, you know, taking responsibility for ourselves and say and admitting, "Yeah, I screwed up. I'm not perfect." And you know, even though we've been through some stuff with our own kids, yeah, we can tell them that, but they have to learn that on their own too. Like, they're going to make mistakes. They're exactly. going to, and we just have to be there for them and admit that, yeah, guess what? I screwed up too. That's part of life, but this is what you take responsibility. You take ownership. You know, if you hurt someone, you tell them you're sorry and you mean it. And you just try to better yourself.
Yeah.
And it's a learning process, whether you're 14 or whether I'm 45, I'm still learning, you know?
It's just a baby.
Me? I'm yeah. a baby?
You're just a baby.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You just made my day.
Hey. So the this past weekend was our big Christmas or our big Santa weekend. We went to Breakfast with Santa over at the Crooked Hammock. Mm-hmm. And so the Santa, you know, Santa's there. I got a selfie with him.
Selfie with Santa.
And I look and, you know, my kids took their pictures with Santa. And it was a great event. And I looked at him and I said, pretty busy this week. And he goes, yeah, I saw 1,500 kids last year. And I go, oh. I said, I wonder what the real Santa saw. And he looks at me. I am the real Santa. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Have a nice day. But, well, you know, the point of that was it's just, you know, the holidays. It's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be mindful. I'm a victim of Christmas.
The Christmas crazies.
Well, it's tough. And, you know, everybody, and it's about to get a little crazier, mm-hmm. right? Because yeah. I know that I'm behind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've gotten my wife anything yet. So there's going to be a mad panic. But, you know, this is that time where you really have to promote mindfulness, you know, staying in the moment.
Yes.
Gratitude.
It's so true. It's so true. And that's all part of it too. Gratitude, you know, heartfulness, loving kindness for ourselves and for others. So I was teaching mindfulness the past couple years to students at the Jefferson School through the Minds Over Matter Initiative, which is how I got into mindfulness. So I was learning right along with them as I was teaching it, you know. And last year they wanted us to incorporate more brain research. So I was learning it too and teaching them. And I think the great thing about that is when you can learn that at a young age. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had learned, not to say I wouldn't have the issues that I have today or gone through some of the stuff, but if I had learned how about mindfulness and how to self-regulate as a child, it probably would have saved me a lot therapy, but that's okay, you know?
Well, and I do this a lot, you know, with my kids, and, you know, we use prayer,
mm-hmm.
and we don't go to church,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not, I don't practice any really religion, but especially my youngest one, Sam, he gets anxiety. Mm-hmm. He stresses about it. Like, he's like, do I have to live at college when I go to college? I'm like, dude, let's get through third grade. You know, let's not yeah. worry about college.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about staying in the moment, you know, and we use prayer.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, and the prayer we say is, dear Lord, I'm turning this over to you. My shoulders are not big enough,
mm-hmm.
and I need you to help.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough and I need you to help. Dear Lord, I'm turning this over. And we'll say it over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps. You know, it's the act.
Yeah.
You know, it's the act of the prayer, not the return. You know, I spent, you know, Santa and Jesus were like this
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
Dear God, help me. Dear Jesus or dear Santa, I want this. You know, they were both about getting stuff back to me.
Yeah.
And when I've time, 51.
Right.
You know, I've learned it's not the outcome, it's the act, it's the attempt.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not even asking for them, it's just recognizing. And it's to say out loud, I need help.
Yeah.
And it is like magic.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I could see someone like having to take like a Zoloft or some anxiety pill, you know, we're so into that these days. Everybody's on a pill.
Yep.
And, you know, I just try to, you know, we just try to practice humility. And it's very, my buddy Matt used to have like a rubber band on his arm. He used to have sticky notes. You know, he would say, you know, I have to practice staying in the moment. I'm safe right here. I am absolutely safe. He used to say, you know, check the mail every day. If there's a bill, take it out, pay it, put it back in the mail that day. Because a $15 bill left in there will turn into 30 by the end of the week. And it'll have the power of 50 by 2 weeks. And by the, if you don't pay it when it's supposed to be in just like the last day, it feels like you owe $100.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just 15 bucks. And then you open, you're like, it's just 15 bucks. But you wasted 30 days of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay in the moment. Take care of things in the moment.
Right.
It happens. You know, if I procrastinate on something, I'll stress about it. Like there's these there's podcasts. I'm having trouble uploading somebody else's podcast. And I thought about it all night. I should have done it yesterday. But I was tired.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see it every, you know, so little, every examples of it in my life, at least, all the time.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, that's right. That's part of it too. So here we are in the present, right? If we're thinking about the past, we're not here in the present. If we're thinking about the future, we're not here in the present. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do.
No, it's a muscle.
You have to keep coming back to it, right? And also, I think lately I've been thinking a lot about things that are out of my control. So when you said that about like the podcast, you can't upload it. Yes, it's something that you need to do, but you didn't need to do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
Right. Exactly.
So that's hard to let go of.
Yeah.
But you know you're going to get to it. So just come back to where you are. What you need to be doing is sleeping.
I was sent to bed.
Listen to bed. Your wife.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, so when we teach mindfulness, we talk about the breath. What do we have? You know, nobody taught me that as a kid.
Mm-mm.
It would help with my anxiety tremendously if someone had said, you always have your breath. It's always there for you. Go back to your breath. Just focus, just pause and take 3 deep breaths. And I try to tell that to my daughter a lot because she has anxiety too. She's only 12.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that mom says, it's like, you know, she poo-poos. But if somebody else said it to her, she would probably listen. But it's like we do have that ability to pause.
Well,
reset.
Sometimes you have to do it with them.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, when I do this prayer with Sam, and even David, you know, David will be like stressed out. I'm like, did you try praying about it?
Mm.
You know, let's pray about it. Let's do it together. I pray with my, you know, as long as they're with me, I pray with my boys every night.
Yeah.
We say the same prayer. Where'd you come up with that prayer? I said, I don't know. You just made it up the day you were born, and we just stuck with it.
Aww.
But we pray about it every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the funny thing is I don't trust the future, and I definitely don't trust the past, mm-hmm. my version of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I, you know, the day I got sober, March 31st, 1997, I got in a fight because I was running my big drunk mouth. And I remember bleeding and this like blood coming out of my mouth. And I remember looking over and the bartender coming over and I thought to myself, he's going to help me. He threw me out. It was the most horrifying, mortifying moment of my life. So embarrassing, so much shame. My first thought wasn't, oh, I drank too much. My first thought was, how am I going to explain these stitches?
Mm.
But if I told you that story Thursday, the day after, I got 100 stitches, you know, you would know every detail. But if I told you the story today, it'd be like 5 stitches. It wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me. It wasn't that cold. It was horrible. And the past tends to nerf, you know, I nerf the past.
Mm.
I soften it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember it being as well. And, you know, the future, I'm special in the future,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I can't mm-hmm. trust that either.
Yeah.
So this is really, I know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm talking to corporate's wife. And he's probably going to be cool with it.
Yeah.
He's going to have a good comments. I don't know how long we've been talking.
I don't know. But the other thing I wanted to say too about your running, like, nature is such a great place to be mindful.
We have no time limit. I was just wondering.
Oh, okay.
I
don't wanna, how long have we been talking?
50 minutes.
Wow. Okay.
And we can talk for as long as you want. I was just wondering.
Yeah. No, this is wonderful. But like I'm picturing you on the trail in the snow. Like it must have been beautiful.
Yep.
And so when we are using our senses like that, and we're feeling and we're smelling and we're seeing, like nature is such a great place to be mindful. So you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing it, you don't even realize, right?
Right.
And there's this great picture. I should have brought it to show you, but it's like a cartoon picture of a man walking his dog, and you can see them from the back. And the man has a thought, what's that called? A thought bubble.
Yeah.
And it's like full of just stuff, like to-do list, car, you know, whatever it is, filled up. And then the dog's thought bubble is empty because, and they're outside, they're right. In nature because the dog is just there. Right?
Yep.
I love that. Like when I saw that, that's when the light bulb went off. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what mindfulness. It's just, you're just being, you're just there.
Well, and I think that's what the one of the great things about my run is that I do it with my friend James, who we're a lot alike. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have a big agenda, mm-hmm. you know. I think we run in the morning. We run at 6 because I think at 7, 8, 9, I start to kind of come to my senses, and running isn't a great of an idea at 9. But at 6, it's like, you know, I'm not even really awake. I have like a half a cup of coffee in me. I get the kids' food ready, and then I hit it out there, and it's just that. But from the couch, I'm like, ooh, it's probably 10 degrees, 50 mile an hour winds. You know, I always want to be like, let's not do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, let's go. And we just started, and it was amazing, and it was beautiful, and it wasn't windy, and it was snowing. And but we also don't have like this requirement for it. Mm-hmm. Like, we run, we walk, we take pictures, we laugh, yeah. We make snow angels. You know, we're running down Route 1. There was a, at that furniture place, we always, you know, there was a, over on Wolf Neck Road, there used to be a toilet. That somebody sat out in front of their house, like, you know, free toilet. And we used to take pictures on the toilet, you know, we'd sit on it. And so this morning we, you know, over at the furniture store, they have those, Adirondack chairs kind of around the sign. Uh-huh. So I'm running because I got the phone call this morning that school was delayed and I had to stop. So James had kept on running. So I was trying to catch up and I'm running and I can't see. And all of a sudden he's like, need a seat. And he's sitting in one of these Adirondack chairs full of snow. And I'm like, let me get that picture. You know, so, you know, it's just, that's it isn't great. Really about a time, mm-hmm. you know, a pace, mm-hmm. Or even really getting in shape, really, because mm-hmm. we're not particularly great at running, mm-hmm. but we just do it. And, and we made that commitment. And sometimes, you know, it's nice when you can make a commitment with somebody that kind of holds you accountable to do something. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that I started running in 1999.
Really?
Yep.
You and your friend have been running together for that long? That's amazing.
Yep. Almost 20 years.
Wow. Well, and your pictures are beautiful.
Thank you.
That you take. I've been looking at those online.
Well, it's funny because a lot of those, it's just because we were there. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. You're in the moment.
Yep.
You're not thinking ahead like, oh, I have to finish. If you're training for a race or something, that's different, right?
Yeah.
But you're in the moment and it's okay to stop and, you know, look at this beautiful thing you're admiring. And then appreciating the fact that you can get into your warm car and you can go home to your warm house and take a shower. And
I actually appreciate that we just ran back to my house.
Ran from your house. Yeah. So it's like
if we run out my front door, down Wolf Neck, down the trail, run to the outlets, and then back all the way down Route 1 and back down Wolf Neck and step back on my front door, it's 5 exact miles.
Wow. Yeah. And then, you know, you're grateful because you have coffee and...
Oh, yeah. No, we love it. I'm just... I love that. I love the trail.
That's awesome.
Carlos, corporate's like, just call me. I'll meet you. I go...
To run?
Yeah.
Really?
High school sweetheart is a runner.
Well, you're kind of inspiring me. I used to be a runner.
Oh.
I used to be a runner. I ran the Disney Half Marathon when my daughter was 6 months old. But that was my therapy at the time. Like now that I'm that this many years removed from it, I can see that was my therapy.
Well, and I will tell you this, since 2000 or 1999, I have gone from like running 9 miles, running 30, 40 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
To running this one day a week with him. And those times, I was pretty sad. You know, there was some sad times in my life. And running was a great escape.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy, you know, today. I don't need to be super skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what it's usually a weight thing. And I'm pretty, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
I like the running just because it's a commitment that we have.
Yeah.
I love it. I wish we would commit to doing it more. The problem is that James comes to my house and we run from my house, so it's not fair to him to make him commit, because I'm clearly not driving out to Milton. So when I ask, you know, we have kids and stuff, so and he's got a little, he doesn't have any kids, but he's still a busy guy.
Yeah. So you do it once a week together?
We run every Wednesday. And but there was a time I would run 4 or 5 days a week and our Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that. I actually took a lot of time off running and just kind of started back. And I was in fact, I didn't run all summer. I was doing a lot of biking and I was worried that I was going to lose the ability to run.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, it was kind of scaring me. I was like, you need to run. And as it got colder, biking wasn't for me at least an option.
Yeah.
So one day I went for a run and I ran great. Felt terrific. Like I'd never stopped. I was like, oh, good. So I'm kind of back at it. I want to run more. I'd like to get back up to at least 2 days a week.
Yeah.
But it is a little chilly.
Yeah.
You want to run with us?
Inspiring me.
You want to do
it? I don't know if I can. I've got hip issues.
You're a hippie?
I'm hippie. Yeah, I'm a hippie. I don't know. I toy around with it, but it kind of scares me.
What's the matter with your hip?
I don't know. I my whole right side is funky. So when I was a baby.
Okay.
My legs, I have bowed legs. My legs were wrapped around, like when I was born. So I had braces on my legs to straighten my legs.
Yeah.
And I think that is just, it's just the way God made me.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this funky hip thing and I'm scared to make it worse by running. But that doesn't mean I won't try it. I love biking, but like I don't bike in the winter either, and it makes me sad.
Right. Well, I think maybe, like I said, our running is a little, you know, we run from my house basically kind of the first mile. We might walk a little bit, and then we run to the bridge kind of over by your house, and then we run to the 2 mile, and then we run to the parking lot at the outlets.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, 7 minute. We're running about a 10, 11 minute mile. It's more of a fast walk run.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously if you're hurting, don't run.
But if it's,
you know, our brain saying, let me give you a list of reasons why not to, because our brain's good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to feel good. Mm-hmm. You're like, that's what happened to me.
I know. It could
your foot
be an
hurts.
Excuse. I know.
It's your ankle. You don't want to hurt it. And then I ran and I'm like, I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
And now I actually feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So bring old corporate with you.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll meet you and
it's fun.
We'll see.
It's you know what? I think we should just, like I told him, let's just pick a day and let's commit.
Yeah.
That's why James and I have the commitment, because like he said, like we were running this morning and he goes, you know, if I didn't have this commitment, you know, I didn't sleep well. I didn't want to get up.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of anxiety. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to go run in the snow with Tom and it'll be great. And he goes, thank God I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because his mind was saying, don't do it. You didn't sleep. You're not going to feel good. And, you know, I was like, oh, it's cold, it's windy, it's going to be rainy. We're not. But I said, come to the house. If we cannot run, let's just go for coffee then.
Mm-hmm.
But we always run.
Yeah. And how don't you feel? See, this is why I'm like, oh, you're just getting me inspired. Don't you feel so good when you're done?
If only to say, hey, I ran this morning. How about you? You know, just that one.
But just even that, yeah, you're cold. It's cold. It's wet. But guess what? You can go home and dry off and get warm and snuggle up with your wife or your kids.
Wasn't cold.
Yeah.
It was not cold. I overdressed. Yeah. It was wet, but it was definitely not cold. Listen, we've run. One of my favorite things to do is run down to the bridge and carve the degrees into the rail and take a picture of it. And I've carved in 13. 13
really?
Degrees. We've run at 13 degrees. I've run when it hurts my face.
Yeah.
And it's still been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I just planted the seed.
You planted the seed. Exactly.
I planted it in Carlos too. And he's like, you just call me, I'll run.
So I think, yeah. So now that I know that, I might have to work on that.
Let's become amazing. With some skinny jeans on. My skinny jeans are feeling a little tight. I need to do some more running. Well, listen, Amy, I appreciate it. I chat and spend a lot of time with Carlos, and we've met, but we've never had a chance to really sit down and really become friends, and I feel like we've become friends, and that's awesome.
This is nice. Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me hang out with Carlos.
Yeah.
He is a good guy.
He is a great guy.
He'll tell you that.
He will. He's not shy about it.
He'll let you know he's amazing.
Yeah.
That's what we love about him.
That, you know, I've known him for how many years now, and I do love him. And he and I are very opposite, and I think that's part of why we work together.
Well, and you know what? You don't really meet. Speaking for me, I don't meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I don't meet a lot of people that I have a lot in common with.
Yeah.
And I have a lot in common with him.
Yeah.
And I always tell him, Carlos, Eddie Vedder loves you. I say, buck up, soldier. Eddie Vedder loves you. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
He's funny.
That's his other BFF.
Oh, well, we both love Pearl Jam.
Yeah. Eddie Vedder is his.
He's like, let's try singing. You could do it. You could sing like Eddie Vedder. I'm like, I can't sing like Eddie Vedder. Try. He just wants to be in a Pearl Jam band. I can't sing like Eddie Vedder. I could sing like other people, not Eddie.
Yeah. Well, have you tried? Uh-uh. Well, then you don't know.
Well, it's funny. I shouldn't say that. You know, me and my friend Dan saw Pearl Jam, the last tour, the Lightning Bolt tour. We had front row.
Oh, my gosh.
And I watched Eddie Vedder sing for 3 straight hours.
What?
And I thought, how does he do that? Because I've tried to sing one song in like a karaoke bar and blew out my voice for the rest of the week. So he's just got the gift.
Oh, I know. You and Carlos need to go see a Pearl Jam show together.
I think we're going to Wembley.
Yeah?
Okay. No, I don't know.
You should, though.
We should.
How cool would that be?
Well, if you're listening to our other podcast, Broke and Stoked, I'm broke. He's stoked.
You're a good pair.
Yeah, exactly. But I would love to go to Wembley. Mm. Oh, he hasn't mentioned that to you?
No.
Uh-oh.
No. That's okay. I'll plan my own trip.
Well, I would love to go see. I'd love to take. I think it'd be fun to take our boys to go see Pearl Jam. I would love to see him at Wembley Stadium. I think that would be
amazing. Yes, you could take your son and Carlos could take Charlie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you should do that. I support that.
I'd love to get our kids involved in this podcasting.
That would be great. Well, Charlie's doing the audio, radio, video. At
oh, is
Cape.
He?
Mm-hmm. That's one of his pathways. And he really likes it.
Well, I think the problem with kids doing podcasting is other kids making fun of them.
Mm.
Because I can't figure out any other reason why, you know, if you're like doing a podcast and all the other kids would be like, doing a podcast, you know, they're not supportive.
Well, but why are they making fun? So this is what I always tell my kids. Like, why do people pick on other people? Why?
They're jealous.
Right. they're either jealous or they don't feel good about themselves.
But we're 50, or you're 45, I'm 51. I get that now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that then.
Yeah.
And even if I did understand it, it still didn't matter.
Well,
it is what it is, and I'm not doing it.
I know. But it just, like you said, planting the seed.
Yep.
Planting the seed so that they know more than we did, and hopefully it helps them as they grow.
Well,
it's
definitely
not going to be perfect.
I definitely try to be a mindful example to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just lost David. He just went to 14-year-old land.
Oh yeah.
I'll be here when you come back.
Yeah, that's an interesting place to be.
All right. Well, listen. There's my next podcast.
Okay.
Amy, have a great day.
You too.
And I will talk to you later.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.